This podcast is brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. Thanks for listening.
Let's move on to the time of scripture reading. Scripture reading today will be taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35 to verse 58. Sister Genevieve will be reading for us the passage today. You can take this moment to grab your Bible, the church blue Bibles on the chairs, or you can follow the passage on the screen.
Hey, hi, good morning, church. If you're using the church Bible, today's passage can be found on page 1157. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish! What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives his own body. Not all flesh is the same. People have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another, and star differs from star in splendor. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural. And after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man is of heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. This is the word of the Lord.
Pastor Andrew will now speak to us God's word.
Thank you, Jun Hao, for leading us, and Jenny for reading today's passage. A very good afternoon to everyone. 2 minutes? Yep. It's good to see you. Can I invite you to turn around, look at the person on your left and right, and say, it's good to see you physically here. It's good to see you physically here. Now, if you have your own Bible, can I invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35? If you're using the church Bible, can I invite you to turn to page 1157 to 1 Corinthians 15, 35? We'll be looking at the passage together using the Bible. Why don't we ask God to help us as we begin? Oh, dear Heavenly Father, you are the one who made the first man, and through him, all of us came into being. And you are also the one who sent the heavenly man, and through him, that we are able to be in heaven with you. Today, Father, as we open up this passage on the bodily resurrection, we pray that your Spirit work in us and help us to engage with your word and to be built up in our faith. All this we pray for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it was Sunday, 1988. It was also Father's Day. I woke up, it was quiet. It feels different on that Sunday. Normally on Sunday, we'll be getting ourselves ready, rushing to go to church. There was no rush on that Sunday. There was no jokes, there was no small talk. Everyone was awake, but it was quiet. The present I bought for my dad, it was unwrapped. He has seen the present. It was a classic Old Spice cologne. If you're old enough, you know how it works. With a ship right on top. I've saved for quite a while to get a present for my dad. He came up to me, he says, "Thanks for the present. Today I'd like to share that present with my dad," which is my grandfather. Because that Sunday morning, he passed on. Now the adults, they were busy trying to get an undertaker in. So I sat in the room just next to mine. I looked at the body for a long time. So I went to touch the body. It's still a bit warm. I was 9. I wonder what it meant when they say a dead Christian will resurrect from the dead. What would Grandpa look like if he really resurrect from the dead? Would he look like how he is right now? Or when he was younger and fit and handsome? How about me? Like, would I stay the same height if I were to die and resurrect in the future? What does it really mean? The wake went on for a few days. You know how wake works for Christians. And I sang with all my heart in Mandarin when the time to sing comes, and I thought if I sing sincere enough, Jesus might appear and the coffin open and Grandpa just gets up and say, "Hey, let's go for supper." It didn't happen. So the burial ground we had was Lim Chu Kang. The body was there. And I've been to Lim Chu Kang Cemetery for tons and tons of time over the last 4 decades. Every time I went there, I would imagine that if Jesus comes right now, all the bodies are going to be risen from the dead, and wow, such a glorious moment. And then my dad burst the bubble and says, "Actually, this is on lease. Like, just a couple of years, the government is going to take back the land, and that's it. Now what? It's already expired, but under the generosity of the government, it's still there. The bodies are still there." I said, "What if the yellow crane comes before the Lord return? What does a bodily resurrection really mean?" Now, why do I remember all these details? Because it was the first death in this small family unit that I have. And I remember every moment of it. Someone who was there, talking or moving next to me in the next room, the next morning it was just an empty corpse. Now, friends, I know this. I'm not the only one who have experienced this. Those of you who are listening and older, or perhaps even younger, you have experienced that first death in your own family. And if they're Christians, you might wonder, what does all this mean? You might wonder, what does bodily resurrection mean when you have to choose between cremation or burial or scattering? All these things. I'm not the first. But my question for you today is this: as a Christian, how do you think about death and bodily resurrection? What do you think about bodily resurrection? In fact, you're here, if you're here every first week of the month, you say this with everyone else, the Apostles' Creed. Do you remember what's in the Apostles' Creed? It says, "I believe in," and it goes on, "the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. And everyone says amen. You say that every Sunday. What does bodily resurrection mean to you? For the believers who have slept, it could have been your family members, it could have been friends who have died, buried, cremated, scattered. What does it mean for your own bodies when it's time for you and me to have our turns? What kind of body are we expecting for resurrection? Well, friends, if you have never thought hard about the bodily resurrection, today's passage wants to invite you to think deeply on it. But if you have been thinking, I hope today's passage will answer some of the questions that you may have. Or if you're not a Christian, you've been visiting us, can I say I'm so glad you're here in this three-week series on the resurrection of 1 Corinthians 15. And I hope you will find this thought-provoking in today's passage. So turn with me now as we look at chapter 15, verse 35 to 58. I've got 3 points for us in today's passage. Three points. It is this: the resurrection body, it is a different body. 35 to 41, it is a spiritual body. 42 to 49, and it is a suitable body. From 50 to 57, and it will wrap up with Paul's exhortation on this. So if you have a Bible, look with me to verse 35 onwards. Now we're stepping back into the Church of Corinth. We've been stepping in and out from our place to the Church of Corinth 2,000 years ago for months. And today, as you step into the Church of Corinth, you'll be confronted by a certain group of people. They claim to be believers, but they do not believe in the resurrection of the dead. Perhaps they think that getting back the same body is not that exciting, not that attractive. Or perhaps they think actually this body is inferior. No, when this body is totally gone, the spirit that's perfect comes out, and that is where life begins. Whatever it is, most likely, the doubters just simply do not believe that a bodily resurrection is logical, it is sensible, or it is even possible. They do not believe that those who trust in Jesus would receive a perfect resurrected body. And so here are the questions. Look at verse 35. Says, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body? Now, in response to the doubters, Paul says to them in verse 36, how foolish, if you're NIV, or if you're reading it literally, he's saying, you foolish people. Do you not see the things around you that seems to die are all being raised to life all the time? So he draws them to what they are most familiar with. In that time is agriculture. And he says, look here, verse 36b, 37. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And when you sow, you don't plant the body that will be, but rather just a seed, perhaps a wheat or something else. He's saying this, dear Corinthians, God has given you visuals everywhere to understand resurrection. When you go to the field to sow the seeds, there will be no harvest for you unless the seed dies and be transformed into a new and different kind of life. You don't sow the plant, you don't put the plant in, you sow the seed. But what comes out of the soil is the plant. What you sow is different from what you receive in the new life, and this is how it is for resurrection. There is this continuity, but as well as this discontinuity, that's just hidden from our eyes when the seed goes down. But resurrection is definitely not just some resuscitation, not just some reanimation. You find some parts and try to reanimate. No, resurrection is all about transformation. Now, friends, those of us who have passed our prime, not that many here, everyone's in our prime here. It sounds a bit more real in the first service. Those of us who have passed our prime, we don't simply imagine the healthiest version of us at resurrection. At the same time, nor should the children worry that they always stay at this height for the rest of eternity. No, rather, it's saying that as different as the plant is to the seed, so will the new resurrected body be to their current body is going to be different. They'll be different from what we can imagine. Now, the doubters may who ask, how are the dead raised? They will probably be too embarrassed to ask, how are the seeds raised? And the first one sounds real, the second one they probably feel a bit embarrassed to say that, but anyway, Paul wants to answer them, and the answer is God. The question should not have been, how are the dead raised, but who raises the dead? The answer is God, the giver of life. When God created the world, he created everything out of nothing, just Genesis 1 and 2. He did not need our help back then. And guess what? He does not need our help when he raises the dead in the future. He does not need us to give him some remains so that he could use that and reconstruct and reanimate us. His words are enough to give us that new resurrected body. Look at how he says it, Paul, when he says God is able to raise the dead with new bodies as he sees fit in verse 38. Look at verse 38 with me. Verse 38. God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. Now here's the thing. God gives body as he delights, as he determines. And whenever God gives body, they are not some boring one-size-fits-all mannequin that everyone gets. It's not everyone is given a body that is splendorous in the space that is given. So you can imagine the eagles, they are just magnificent in the sky, isn't it? Or the elephants, strong and powerful in the forest. Or the sharks, fearsome in the sea. I remember the time when I was first learning to dive, and I was doing this night dive, and I was doing this kind of rookie thing with a few people unguarded. So we went down with Shining, and we saw a lot of small sharks at the bottom. And we're like, hey, look at the sharks. And then the dive master say, where's the big one? Suddenly we realized, like, where's the big one? It's like, all right, I'm going to head up. I'm not going to stay here. It's kind of the thought of sharks in water. They are fearsome. That's their splendor. Their bodies suitable for them. But if you swap the whole thing, it becomes a tragedy. Can you imagine that you have a shark right in the middle of the forest? Or an eagle at the depth of the sea? Or someone says, today is raining elephants. Suddenly the splendor is no longer there. But in his own space, God made bodies that are splendorous. And then he made humans with our kind of body and a mind that wants to rule all things. So he has given us earthly bodies, but he goes on, there are also the splendors of heavenly bodies. And the heavenly bodies here refers to the sun, the moon, the stars, and different kinds of stars. Now, when we look at the sun, the moon, and stars, they are just full of splendor and we admire them. But we like to keep the distance, isn't it? Imagine if you're in a romantic rom-com and the man said, I love you so much, I can pluck the moon down for you. I said, that's totally poetic, but please don't make it scientific because I don't really want the moon to get any closer than what it is now. Like, this distance is admirable enough. But there it is. All that God has built has its splendor and its beauty, each body in its own place. Now, you may want to ask this question by now as we go along, is why does Paul move from the seed and plant to then God creating splendorous bodies in its space? Well, I think this is where it is anticipating later on to verse 47 when he speaks about the heavenly man and the earthly man. But for now, what have we gathered about bodily resurrection? And this is what we have. Before I do that, I want to ask this question. Maybe the younger ones, you can answer this as well. I want to do a survey. How many of us have loved ones that are buried? In the soil, buried? Okay, not many. You see the first service, like everybody that still have buried ones. Like, not really, a few. How many have cremated loved ones? Yeah, a bit more. How many have scattered? Families are kind of scattered. Okay, there are some. So you can see that with the increase of population and the decrease of space, so-called, for living people, it changes. But here's the good news as we look at the first section is this. We are told here three things in what we have covered so far is that, first of all, the resurrected body will be different. What is raised bodily will be different from what dies. So if you wonder like me, if the future body looks like our current, the answer is it will be different. Like seed to plant. Second thing we need to know from this few verses is that God has this absolute power. And this is the thing, if we worry that we might not have all the spare parts, because last time the burial had more, then your cremation had less, then you scatter, you have nothing. The passage says, do not worry, because God is powerful enough to give that new body. So even if our bodies right now, in the future, becomes food for the worms, or fertilizers for the plants, it's fine. God is powerful enough. And the third thing on this first section is what is raised will be of a different kind of splendor. If you wonder, we're all just going to be Superman or Wonder Woman, or you already feel that you're one, the answer is in the future, you're not going to be like that. Because it's of a different splendor because we are going to be in a different sphere. Okay, so that's the first thing, or first point that Paul brings in today's passage. The resurrected body will be different from the current body. But the question, if you are following on, that should intrigue you is this. If you say it's different, how different? What is really different between the current body and the future body? What is different? And this is where Paul comes in from 42 to 49, where he says, the future resurrected body will be a spiritual body. Would you look at verse 44 with me? Let me read that for us. Verse 44, at least the first part, it says, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. Now, to be clear, friends, it's important to make a distinction. When Paul says natural, he's not saying physical body. And when he says spiritual, he is not saying this bodiless floating spirit. Okay, so natural and spiritual, they're not talking about that. He's not talking about a balloon where the natural is that rubber or latex and the spiritual is that gas inside waiting to burst forth. No, that's not what he's saying. Look again in verse 44, how he repeats himself and get what he's trying to say. He says this, right? Verse 44, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. In case you didn't get it, if there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual what? A spiritual body. You catch that? So yes, the natural body and the spiritual body, they are both material bodies. We're not going to be shortchanged at resurrection where you get a bit less than what you have now. Just the body's gone and then you have just... We're not going to be shortchanged. But we're going to be added on, because we read that just now in 2 Corinthians 5. We're going to be put on with more. So the Jehovah Witness will be absolutely wrong when they say Jesus rose not bodily, but in spirit. So here's the question, as we ask more about the body, is what is this difference between the natural body and now the spiritual body? We can look at the difference of these two bodies in two connected ways in the few verses. If you look on 42 to 44, there's this contrast between the bodies. As it goes on 45 to 49, there's this difference in the control of the body. Think along with me as we look at 42 to 44, the contrast between bodies, and then 45 to 49, the control of this body. So look with me, verse 42 to 44. The body of a deceased believer in Christ is sown, that is sown. Number one is imperishable. Number two is in dishonor. And number three is in weakness. Now here's the reality of our current body. This body that you have, young ones, you're just going to get stronger and more muscular for some. Yep. This body that we have, it will all lose its shine with time. It will, if you don't believe me, it will happen. You'll lose its shine as time goes on. Now imagine my grandfather was once a strong and fit man. He was born in 1903. He used to work as a cook in ships that goes on for months. ships wasn't that comfortable back in his days. In fact, he has gone through all the wars. He found my grandmother in India. He got married. And life was not easy. But I could imagine in his prime, he was a tough man. I would have loved to hear the stories of how he survived the deep seas for months and what kind of sea creatures he had seen. But he never shared them. But I imagine it would have kept me up all night wanting to hear about the sailing days. But the grandfather I knew in his 90s, he was weak and frail across the room. I could smell the room. My grandmother takes care of him, wash him often. He can't walk. He was old. The body that would have been strong and, you know, handsome and good-looking was a frail man. A frail man who is just withering. You know, at that time, you will know, let's be honest here, you and I, all of us here, even if you are very pretty, all of you are pretty and good-looking, your beauty and your good looks will fail, will fade. And you won't enjoy food and pleasures as much. Your taste bud just goes a bit numb over the years. Now, perfume will not really mask your body smell. As you grow older, when you shower, you will not smell like the babies that you smell in joy room, except their poop, right? But your body smells different. Because that's how it is. It's like the beautiful rose when the man wants to propose to their wife, they'll buy this big bouquet from Five Flora, propose to the wife, and they're happy, and then in a few days, that bouquet is dumped in the bin. It's no longer beautiful, the smell is different. That's the reality of our bodies. Okay, that is the reality of being part of the natural body. But the spiritual body is different. Look at 42, 44. It will be raised imperishable, in glory, in power. So the spiritual body is here. It is material. It is also imperishable. It's glorious. It's powerful. It is set in contrast to the natural body. Now, what is frail in the natural body is found strong in the spiritual body. Now, if you like drawing graph for secondary school guys, ladies, now you draw your X and Y axis, you imagine the natural body goes downhill as the time passes. Because why? What's the end point of your X and Y axis for your natural body? The end point is always, it's always death. No matter how long you draw the line, it always ends with death. It goes downwards. But the spiritual body goes upwards all the time, and it doesn't end because its end point, there's no end point because there is no death. Now, our natural experience of our bodies, or our natural body experiences this, sorrow, pain, frailty, brokenness, sin, grief, regrets, and we find this end point always ending up in death. But don't get me wrong, this body is a gift. Without this body, you can't do anything. You can't do your push-ups, you can't eat your food, you can't eat your mala, you can't enjoy stuff. So this body is good, but it always ends in death. But the spiritual body, it does not dip. It always goes upwards. Now, we'll come back to this spiritual body at the end in 50 to 57. But the reason that Paul points out the difference between the natural body and the spiritual body is to really draw in what is the control center in the middle. What is the center of this? If you're a tech person, what is the source code of these two bodies? What is the motherboard, if you imagine a computer? These two bodies have different centers. The difference between the natural body and the spiritual body ultimately hinges on its source. Look at verse 45 with me. Look at verse 45. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man is of heaven. So all of us, you and I, right now, we are all descendants of the first Adam. We are all born, we have a birth, and rebellion comes in. There's a day where we will die eventually. From dust we come, to dust we return. We're all descendants of Mr. Dusty. The natural is not merely referring to the body, But the very core of us, we are just like the first Adam. The way we behave, we are like Adam. The way we live, like Adam. The way we die, we'll be like Adam. We are not gods. Our origins come from that first Adam, and we are just like Adam. We rebel against God, we die unplucked from the source of life. So the most natural thing about being like Adam is this, that we have limitation. There's always expiry date, like whatever bread that you buy is with the expiry date. If there's one that has no expiry date, don't buy that bread. Don't trust that it's not going to like expire, because it will. We can achieve greatness in our space, whatever space that you're in, but we all expire because we are of the first creation. But then it moves on, 44, about the spiritual body. 44 makes it clear that we did not begin with the spiritual, then we got a downgrade, and then we get back the normal spiritual. It says rather the spiritual didn't come first. We all start with the natural. We all start with the first Adam. But it's from the first Adam that we get the second, the spiritual, when we are in the last Adam. So it means this. We have seen this in last week's passage in verse 20 to 24, that the last Adam is Jesus. So it is when we believe in Jesus and that he has made everything new in us, that the core, the source, becomes different. And when we move from the first Adam, the first man of the dust, to the second or the last man of the heavens, then the source in us are different. And that's where the spiritual comes in after the natural. But what we're waiting for is that spiritual body that encapsulates everything. Our resurrection, that final day, will be our entry into the new heavenly life. If you want to know about heavenly life, you need to know that there is a body that's needed for this place. This is what Jesus says in John 6, 40. If you have got quick fingers on your handphone, you can flip it with me. John 6, 40 says, Jesus says this, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." So while we still carry the image of the first Adam now, Mr. Dusty today, verse 49, our resurrection will make a complete transformation for us to be like the heavenly man, our Lord Jesus Christ. So look at verse 49. In fact, read 49 with me. This is what it means after all this journey. Look at 49. "And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man." So our resurrection is when we finally get clothed with the heavenly dwelling that God has prepared for us. That's what we read in responsive reading, 2 Corinthians 5, that we have just now. Those who believe and die in Jesus, we're already in him, they're already in him, just like the first criminal on the cross. Jesus says, "Today you are with me in paradise." They are with Jesus, but it's not enough. They are still waiting for being clothed by the heavenly body for the eternal kingdom of God. So where have we covered so far in, as we think about bodily resurrection, is this, right? It is, first of all, a different body. It's not a reduce, reuse, recycle. It's totally different. It is a spiritual body. It is material, but its core, its center, is Christ-centered and Christ-based. And finally, in the last few verses, it tells us it is also a suitable body. In fact, it is a victoriously suitable body. So let's look at verse 50 with me. In fact, let me read for us verse 50. "I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable." Now here's the question: why does Paul dwell so much on talking about the bodily resurrection? He's really talked about resurrection. Isn't it enough? Why talk about bodily resurrection being different, being spiritual, and now being suitable? And the answer is this: because you need a totally different body to inherit the kingdom of God. It can't be just the restored or resuscitated or reanimated body. It will not fit heaven. Now, one of the most successful watch advertisement has lasted for decades, like 20 over years, and it still runs, like it's still that classic way of advertisement, is the one done by Patek Philippe. In an article by marketing guru Tim Calkins. He says this: how do you sell? Listen to this. You want to be marketers? How do you sell a $25,000 watch when people can buy an Accurant for $10? How do you sell a $25,000 watch when people can just spend $10 to buy an accurate watch? It is achieved by Patek Philippe, because their generation ads is this. They features father and son, and then there's this tagline that says, you never actually own a Patek Philippe. You merely look after it for the next generation. That was a hit, because there are people with $25,000 and they wonder how to spend the money, and now they know. Buy watches and leave legacy. That's great for marketing. But let me tell you, it will be a horror if that's the tagline of the gospel. If it says you will never actually inherit eternal life in the kingdom of God, you merely get to taste it and then you expire. That would be a horror show. Imagine you get resurrected, you see everything, you get taste a bit, and sorry, expire. 50 years, 80 years, 200, whatever, it expires. That will be a horror. So to be clear, Paul brings it here, the resurrected body is not about giving us a second chance in this life that we failed or we want to remove. It's not that misty, floaty thing that goes around to kind of feel things. You don't just sit next to each other and say, I'm glad to see you, like, I don't know, like, physically, what are you, like, missed? It's not that. Because 52, 53 tells us, at the last trumpet, the dead will rise and be clothed with immortality. And those who are still alive, we get changed immediately. This is the mystery review when Jesus came. But there's just one more thing that's really important that Paul brings in, even as he talks about suitability. It's a reason why we are given a suitable body for eternal life. And the reason is this. Look at the verses with me. Look at 54 with me. I'll read 54. If you can look at it with me, it'll be good. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. What's the saying? Death has been swallowed up in victory. Death has been swallowed up in victory. So as we arrive at this crescendo of Paul's resurrection chapter, where he says, in the face of death, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, your sting? What does it mean? Death was once the undefeated enemy. Like, no one has defeated death. But now he has been defeated by one stronger than death, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for our sins and the consequences of sin. But when he rose from the dead, death could not grip hold of him, and he has to let go. And Jesus is never going back to the grave again. And so he says, thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So on the final day, when resurrected body comes and we rises from the dead, never to die again, death will face its ultimate death. And it actually looks like this, that it turns out the bodily resurrection of a believer and the ultimate death of death, they are the two sides of the same coin. Because when believers finally resurrect forever and they're not going down to the grave, death will forever be gone, because it can never have a space in that new kingdom of God. There is no space in the space of the kingdom of God for death. So dear friends, as we wrap up this few verses on resurrection, what do all this really mean for us in practice? What do all this mean for us? And Paul wants to drill in this last verse for us, the impact. He gave us this exhortation in 58, because there is bodily resurrection, he says, let us then stand firm in the gospel we believe. He has given it in chapter 15, verse 1 to 4, 3 weeks ago. Christ's death and resurrection, let us stand firm in the gospel. Don't give up on the gospel. Hold on to this gospel. This is where you get the source, the spiritual, the body, and the eternal life, and the promises. And let nothing move us. Let's not be swayed by false teachings that comes along, or smart words of philosophy that tells you, is death really true? Can you really resurrect? Do not be swayed by them. Turn back to the Bible. And we must not live this life at least as if there's really nothing much more. That if we don't max this life, we kind of lost it, kind of fear of missing out. Paul says, Don't let anything move you. Instead, give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord, which here, I think Paul is really pointing to the proclamation of the gospel, because he's going to talk about it in the next chapter. Because here's the thing that's amazing. In this discontinuity from this body to the next, there is this continuity, which is that whatever you do with this perishable body, this perishable body that we do, there are some things that we do that we can bring back into eternity. And Paul says, and that is the gospel. Because when your body dissipates, and when you resurrect, suddenly you realize that you have brothers and sisters, friends, family, who because of the gospel you tell them are also there. So Paul says, let us give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Because this is that one time that you can exchange perishable for the imperishable. And that is what Paul has for us. So friends, as we wrap up 1988, Father's Day, that was my first confrontation with reality of death, or the question of resurrection. I'm sure you have yours. And if not, I hope today is thinking about resurrection. But the Bible tells us we have a Heavenly Father who, there is no one Father's Day where he's going to die, but there is one day where he will bring all who are in Christ to eternal life. It would be the opposite kind of life that we are looking at. And this last thing I want to bring up is this. Friends, if we think of, what is the important thing of bodily resurrection? Here's the thing, if we think of resurrection as this vague thing, right? Okay, I believe as a Christian, as a resurrection. Resurrection is the last chapter of the story. You think, life is tough, life is difficult, I can't wait for death and then resurrection. But if the Bible is right, the way that Paul puts it, that if you understand bodily resurrection, when we think of bodily resurrection, we don't think at the end of the chapter, we think of the chapter that is the first chapter. Suddenly, this life that we have is almost like the cover page or introduction forward, and resurrection begins the whole story that never ends. I want to read to you in closing these last words from the classics, Chronicles of Narnia. How many of you know Chronicles of Narnia? C.S. Lewis wrote it. There's a whole series. And the last one is called The Last Battle. And after The Last Battle, these are the words that were so beautiful to wrap up the life of Narnia, but really it's about us. Let me read this for us. As for us, the readers, this is the end of all the stories, and we can most truly say that they all live happily ever after. But for them, it is only the beginning of the real story. All their life in this world, all their adventures in Narnia have only been the cover and title page. Because now at last they are beginning chapter one of the great story which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. If we follow Paul's words about bodily resurrection and what is prepared for, resurrection is not the end of our story, of last chapter of our book, but it is the first chapter that we are writing preface now to start with. So as a close, how do you think about resurrection? The next time you have to confront it again, how will you think about it? Will we live this life holding to this gospel of Jesus, unswayed by distraction, fully committed to it? Because if we do, then we are waiting for chapter one to begin when Christ returns. Let's close this time and ask God to help us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today's passage. Thank you for the last 3 weeks where we are confronted with the topic of resurrection, that of Christ, that of reality, and that of physicality. Father, as we think of today's passage, we pray that you help us to treasure this truth, that the bodily resurrection will be different from now. It will be spiritual body. It will be so suitable for the new kingdom of God that you've prepared for us. That you will not be an advertisement and a taste for a moment, but you'll be forever. And each chapter will just get better than the next. We pray all this and ask that your Spirit work in us and strengthen us in our faith and our hope, and all this for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for the sermon. So we'll now take some time to reflect and discuss what we have heard. So I'll flash the questions on the screen. So first, do you believe there will be a bodily resurrection when the Lord Jesus returns? And second, how has today's passage affirmed, reshaped, or challenged your views of a resurrected body when the Lord Jesus returns? So you may take this time now to turn to your closest neighbor and have a fruitful discussion. We can take a short 5 minutes for this.
Thanks for listening to this podcast brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. For more information, visit us online at busypc.sg.